Our readings are about, are you ready for the king? And the first reading is from Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the Lord of justice? I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem and be acceptable to the Lord as in the days before. So I will come to you to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, against adulterers and perjurers, against those who defraud labourers of their wages, who oppress widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Mark 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teacher, look, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see these great buildings, replied Jesus? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, I'm he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings and witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to the trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his children. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's a privilege to welcome Paul back to be with us again. It's 2 years ago that you were with us, Paul. Just tell us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and why you happen to be here today.
I was born in Wolverhampton. I'm currently a vicar in Oswestry in Shropshire, and I'm partly responsible for finding Nick as your vicar, which I'm always slightly cautious about saying when I go to places, because I don't know what you think of him, but there you go.
So how come you were in that role?
I'm involved with Church Society. Every Church of England parish has a patron, and we're patron to various parishes around England, and we seek to find faithful preachers of the gospel who will love the Lord and his word and love his people and their communities too.
Great. So that's we have Church Society as our patrons, which we were connected, and that's why you're here today.
Well, you invited me. That's why I'm here today.
Yeah, well, that is true. That is true. But it is a privilege to have you. Can I pray for you before we?
Yes, please.
There we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his ministry over in Oswestry Street. And as he preaches your word to us, we pray for your Spirit to be at work. That the words that the Spirit caused to be written, those words that the Lord Jesus spoke, that you would apply them now by that same Spirit to our hearts. That we would see more of the Lord Jesus, that we'd love the Lord Jesus more, and that we'd be ever more eager to follow in his steps. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for your welcome. Please accept my apologies when I can't remember your names. I often have to go and talk to my wife to find out the names of people in my own congregation, so it's not my forte. But thank you for your welcome, and it's great to see you this morning. You'll undoubtedly find it helpful to have Mark 13 open in front of you on the sheet or in a Bible. It doesn't matter. I don't know how you find out what's going on in the world. Some people still watch the traditional news bulletins that are broadcast. Many of us will find our news from a web page. And it seems to me that the three things that most dominate the information that we're given are leadership. Are our leaders doing any good? Is there some new leader somewhere in the world that will bring a promise of something better? How are our leaders doing just this week on Brexit, on the budget that's coming? How is Mugabe doing in Zimbabwe? Many of you will remember 30 years ago, there was great promise in his leadership. 30 years on, it looks a little different. Leadership is one of the things. The second thing that fills our news is wars. Anywhere in the Middle East, the Sudan, events in Myanmar in recent weeks. Our news bulletins are filled with stories of war and of natural disaster. I think they're the three main things. Leadership, wars, and natural disaster. This time last week, an earthquake on the Iran-Iraq border. And we might respond to those things differently. We might be overflowing with compassion when we hear our news. We might just watch it in desperation, that things are never going to get any different. We might just be resigned to it, or we might be plain angry at some of the things that we see. We've given thanksgiving for Evelyn this morning. And this is the world in which she and we live. And that's the first really reassuring thing about what Jesus says. Because Jesus' description is remarkably accurate in terms of what we experience in our news. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, "I am he." You'll hear wars and rumours of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew exactly what we would be watching on our news. And that's because it has always been so. Jesus is speaking to that generation of disciples. They're sitting on the mountainside, looking across at the great temple. And Jesus is talking to them and saying, this is what your life's going to be like. But if you've read your Old Testament, you'll know that the whole of the Old Testament has events like that in it too. And so it has been ever since. Jesus understands, he's come and lived in, and he's able to describe exactly the world in which we live. And twice he mentions in those verses, on two occasions, in verse 7 and verse 13, he talks about the end. He's talking about a number of things there. One of those is that this kind of thing will end one day. These things must happen, end of verse 7, but the end is still to come. They must happen because they're the normal expressions of a fallen world. A world that's said no to God, and as we sang in the song, he's the Lord you can't ignore, but the world does ignore. And so inevitably, this is our experience in the world. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. As we meet Jesus in these verses, he's been spending some time at the temple. The temple in the Old Testament is the place where you meet God and where you hear God's word. So that's the role of the priests. The priests offer the sacrifices so that you can get to God, and then the priests teach you the law so you can be ruled by God. And it's a very strong picture that Jesus has been in the temple courts, teaching. You could go to the temple in Jesus' day and you could meet God in the flesh and you could hear him speak in the flesh. Now this has been promised in the Old Testament. That's why we had Malachi read. The Lord would suddenly come to his temple. And here it is. Jesus has come to his temple. Mark actually quotes Malachi chapter 3 right at the beginning of his gospel. The second verse of the gospel, Mark points us to the fact that what he's going to tell us is about this Lord suddenly coming to the temple. And the Old Testament promise was great, that all the fallenness of the world would be undone. Everything would be put right. The glorious coming of God's kingdom. As Malachi described it, the Lord coming to his temple, salvation, indeed to the ends of the earth. The news would be different from that day on, it seemed, as they read the Old Testament. But something very different has happened when the Lord Jesus has actually turned up at the temple. It's not quite as we might have expected from the Old Testament promise. You remember the story of Jesus on his donkey coming into Jerusalem, and he goes to the temple. And in Mark's account, he looks at the temple and then he goes back out of the city to Bethany. The next day, he comes back to the temple. But what does he do? He clears it, pronouncing judgments on it. And very tellingly, the first verse of our passage, as Jesus was leaving the temple. That's not supposed to happen. When the Lord suddenly comes to his temple, the whole great kingdom of God is supposed to be established. And we read of Jesus leaving the temple. And what's more, when the disciples highlight this great building, Jesus says, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. When God's king did come, suddenly, to his temple, to establish the kingdom, it was not going to be with that stone building in Jerusalem. He cleared it. He leaves it. And he says that not one stone will lie on another. Well, of course, the disciples ask him about this. What sense are we supposed to make of this? Is there no future for relationship between God and man? No temple, not a single stone, no place to meet God? They ask him, what are you talking about? When is this going to happen? What will be the signs? And so what does Jesus want us to know about the coming of God's kingdom? Well, firstly, that nothing will change before the end, to put it bluntly. Nothing will change before the end. The normal chaos will continue. Everything will carry on as normal. That's why our news bulletins are still the same. Because this must happen. The end has still not come. These things are the beginning of the birth pains. The beginning of the end. People will say things can be different. Things can be different now. Jesus says, don't be deceived. They're the leaders who promise so much, and often they will promise so much in the name of Jesus. But Jesus says, don't be deceived. The time has not yet come. When we experience and hear the rumors of wars, which we do all the time, Jesus says, don't be alarmed. These things must happen before the end. See, when we hear people and we can read books and they will put together programs that we can follow, that everything can just be a bit all right. That we don't have to have these wars and we don't have to suffer these kingdoms rising against kingdoms. They write books and programs, but if the ongoing struggle of living in this world is not front and center in those books of spiritual success and how to live a holy, peaceful life, those kinds of new ideas and secrets which will make things different. Well, our spiritual guide, the Lord Jesus Christ, says such things must happen. But the end is still to come. So let's not be deceived. And let's not be alarmed. Because our Lord Jesus speaks these words to us. When we get to Christmas and we'll celebrate the one who came to bring peace on earth. That's what we sing. Peace and goodwill to all. Well, the expectation of that whole peace on earth is when the Lord Jesus returns. Our news bulletins will sadly still be the same this Christmas, unless the Lord Jesus returns. But don't be alarmed, don't be knocked off balance, don't think that the promise of Christmas is empty or has somehow been lost. Don't wobble in your faith when you experience and hear these things. Jesus is preparing us and his disciples in his day for the normal trouble of a fallen world. Don't be deceived by people who say it can be different. And don't be alarmed when it happens. The second thing that Jesus wants us to know. So if you imagine All around is this tumult and trouble of the fallen world. And the second thing that Jesus wants us and his disciples to know is that God will not let his saving gospel disappear from such a world. The saving good news, God will not let it disappear from such a world. There will be people who try to stop the gospel. And we were praying in the vestry just before. We have a great freedom to meet together. Nobody's trying to stop us this morning. Nobody's taking our Bibles away. We're free. But in many parts of the world, people don't enjoy this freedom. They cannot open their Bibles freely without fear of persecution. People in this world will seek to stop. We know that. That's the reality. But God says that he will not let his saving gospel disappear. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. And whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. God, by his Holy Spirit, makes sure that the gospel will not disappear, that there will be a witness to the good news in this world until the end. He instructs his disciples, therefore, to be on their guard. Now, if you're guarding something, you normally get into trouble if you fall asleep. If you're on guard, I'm sure those of you who did national service would know that you get into trouble if you fell asleep on duty. To be on guard means to expect something to come, to see it coming, and to be ready for when it comes. And Jesus says to his followers, in this world, you must be on your guard for those who want to stop this good news of the Lord Jesus going further and further abroad. Expect it, see it coming, and be ready. And what are Jesus' disciples to do when that happens? They are to speak. You see, God will not let his saving gospel disappear. Yes, he will make sure that is the case by his Holy Spirit, but that is through his people. Through his people who are on their guard and are speaking. Now you can trace this through the book of Acts, can't you? If you've read the book of Acts, you'll see this worked out. You'll see everything that we've talked about so far described in the book of Acts. You'll see those who deceive. You'll see rumors of wars. You'll see famines. You will see the disciples arrested by councils and flogged. You will see them speak the most remarkable truths in the midst of that tumult, by the power of the Spirit. See, Jesus is first and foremost preparing his disciples. They're going to have enormous trouble. That's going to climax in AD 70, when the Romans do actually come and fight a war and destroy the temple, and not one stone is left on another. Their world is our world. And their God is our God. Although I put it to you that we're in a slightly better position than the apostles were. Because we have that record from the book of Acts. We've watched them do it. So we pretty much should know what to say. We've got a bit of a guide as to what to say and how to respond. And we have the same Spirit to strengthen and help us as Christ's people today. But God will not let the gospel disappear. We need to learn what they knew, and we need to pray for God's strength, to be on our guard and to speak. Because Christ is the only hope in this world. That's where Jesus continues. He describes some of the most harrowing events that we can imagine. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. As the gospel rings out into the fallen world, when people believe it and stand firm on it, they are saved. Do you remember the hope of the Old Testament promise that when Jesus came to his temple, the Lord would come to the temple and God's great kingdom would be established over the whole earth. Peace from one end of the earth to the other, the Old Testament holds before us. And Jesus says, yes, I've come. But there will be this delay. Things must happen before the end comes. These are the beginning of the birth pains. The gospel will still ring out, and if you hold to it, then you will be saved. That day of salvation is coming, when only peace will be known in all the earth. In the meantime, we live through the fallen world as it is. We have the light of the gospel, which God will not let disappear. And by holding to it, we will be saved. We will know what it means to live perfectly under God's rule as his perfect people, having been transformed. We need that, don't we? When we experience the worst of the world, we need hope. And that's what Jesus puts before us here. Salvation. Not tied around a building in Jerusalem, but salvation now tied around the person of Jesus and his words to this world. If we stand firm there, then we have nothing to fear about the future. We do not need to be deceived by anybody offering us something better in the meantime. We do not need to be alarmed by the realities of our world. We do need to be on our guard. And we do need to speak in the power of the Spirit. It's hard, but despite the worst of all, where families betray families, and the disciples have experienced this in the traumas of AD 70. But in our world today, the hardest of all, there is no hope, though, in deserting the Lord Jesus. He alone is the Lord who comes to the temple to bring salvation. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I didn't choose the passage. Nick asked this, you know, I don't, it's always nice to come with a slightly more positive. Look, this isn't scripted, obviously. This is a really positive message, isn't it? That actually, in the midst of the world we really live in, not some pretend one we might like to imagine, here, the Lord Jesus says, yes, I know it's like that. It must be like that. But here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Because through him, we are able to live with God. He is the temple. He is the one who made the sacrifice of himself so that we can meet with God. And he is the one who speaks God's word to us that we can be ruled by God. He is indeed the word of God in the flesh. And so we genuinely meet with God as we live now, in the midst of this world, and by holding firm to him, we will be saved. Well, many of us have children, we have families, we have Christian brothers and sisters. This is the life that we must prepare one another for. Let's do that. Evelyn, in your parents of Evelyn in your family, prepare her to live in this world, as Jesus said, but holding to Christ. The gospel will always be available. God will not let it disappear. And those who hold to it will be saved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that he understands and knows the world in which we live, that he has warned us about it. We pray that we would not be deceived nor alarmed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will not let the gospel disappear, that your good news of forgiveness and reconciliation and life with you will remain and will be preached and will be borne witness to through your people. And so, Father, help us to hold firm to it, whatever befall, that we may be saved. Father, encourage us this week when news comes to us that knocks us off balance. Encourage us, Heavenly Father, to keep hold of our Lord Jesus and to persevere to the end. Strengthen this church family, we pray, that in this part of your world, they would hold out the gospel light, the only hope, that they and others would rejoice together as your people whom you are saving. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.